I'd like you this morning to take a moment to think about where there are storms raging in your life right now. Take a moment to think about one that you're going through right now, maybe one that you've been through in the very recent past. And I'd like you to keep that storm in mind during the course of this homily. Today, we heard the last of the great Lenten Gospels from St. John, the raising of Lazarus. And as we conclude our Lenten reflections today on returning back to the Lord, we have the opportunity to consider and ask the question, what do we do when we face the storms of life? The storms of life can have the effect of pushing us off course. It can also have the effect of lessening our vigor for our faith journey, for returning to the Lord. Even outside the season of Lent, our entire lives are about conversion. We heard that last Sunday in the story of the blind man, how he came slowly to believe in Jesus, and that all of our lives are a process of conversion. So we have this very holy season in which we focus specifically on that. But conversion is meant to be a part of our entire journey as Christians. So what do we do when those storms come into our lives and push us off course or perhaps tempt us to fall into despair? If we want to return to the Lord, if we want to stay with the Lord, then we have to have some plan. We have to have some faith when those storms come into our lives. And I think that the first reading in the gospel today speak very specifically into this question of what do we do when we face storms in life. So let's take a look at these readings to see what they're saying, what God is saying to us today through them. The first reading came from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Now, you may not be familiar with the story of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was one of the temple priests. He was of the priestly class, which meant he was one of the ones responsible for the sacrifices of the temple, the worship of the temple in Jerusalem, and all of those things. And Ezekiel, along with all of the rest of the priests and many of the people, were carried off into exile in the year 597 BC. They were taken from Jerusalem and its surrounding areas to Babylon. And it was a punishment for their sins, for their unfaithfulness. And it was actually once he got to Babylon that Ezekiel's career as a prophet began. God speaks to Ezekiel in Babylon, and he gives him a vision. He gives him a vision to prophesy to the people the final destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. That as a final punishment, that symbol of their faith was going to be razed to the ground. And so it came true in 587 BC, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. And then after that event, interestingly, Ezekiel's prophecies become more hopeful. He now foresees a day when God will establish a new covenant with his people. He has another vision. He has another vision of a field of dry bones, dry, brittle bones. It says that they filled the whole broad valley. And in this vision, God makes Ezekiel walk through those bones. He says how dry they were. God asked him, "Son of man, can these bones come back to life?" "Lord God," I answered, Ezekiel answered, "you alone know that." The dry bones represented the Jewish people in exile, broken, bruised, battered. The Jewish people were in the midst of this monumental storm. Here they are, living far from home, being punished for their sins. The very symbol of their faith, the temple, was destroyed. How do they keep their faith? Even Ezekiel, think about it. If you were a temple priest and the temple no longer existed, your entire identity is now gone. What do you do? How do you keep your faith alive? What do you do in the midst of the storm? God tells Ezekiel, he says, prophesy over the dry bones. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord, Ezekiel says. And we hear that a great sound erupts as bone is joined to bone and flesh grows on them. And God blows into those bones and flesh the breath of his life. And that's where today's first reading picks up. God says through Ezekiel, you will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and make you come out of them, my people. God is promising that he will restore his people back to life, that from the very dryness and bitterness of these bones, God can make flesh grow back on them. Ezekiel is called in the midst of the storm to speak a word of hope to people who had lost literally everything. Ezekiel knew that God would not leave his people, abandon them. And this image of the raising of the dry bones is a promise. It's a promise that God can bring something new even out of something that seems so bad. Specifically in that vision, Ezekiel is speaking about the experience of death. That God promises to raise his people from the grave. That even something that seems so final can be a conduit of the goodness of God. So when we face the storms of life, like Ezekiel, we have to ask the question, where do we find hope? And our hope comes from the faithfulness of God. That God promises that he can bring good even out of that which seems to us hopeless. And that brings us to the gospel today. Martha and Mary are facing the storm of their brother's illness and then his eventual passing. How many of us have faced the storm of illness in our lives or the lives of someone whom we love, or the storm of death that comes into all of our lives? The Gospels tell us that Martha and Mary and Lazarus were great friends with Jesus. They were very close friends. And Jesus would often stay with them when he was in the area. It's mentioned in all four Gospels. And today very specifically says that there's friendship there. Friendship with Jesus. It's very important. And naturally, as anyone would do, when their brother is sick, Martha and Mary call for their friend. Come help us. But notice what it says. It says that Jesus was friends with them, but he waited 2 days. Maybe we have been in the position where we feel like God is waiting. Maybe we don't know why he's waiting. Maybe we feel like he's not answering our prayers, our cries out to him. Why did Jesus wait? Why didn't he go right away? And he tells his apostles, it's because the glory of God can shine through this moment. That this moment, that something that seems so bad, will bring about great faith. And we hear that when we get to the end of the gospel today. It's a very common experience for us to feel maybe like God isn't listening or wondering why he's not answering. So when Jesus does go to Bethany, he performs this great miracle. He shows his power over death. And he shows again that something good can come from something that seems so awful. We hear the shortest verse in all the scriptures. And Jesus wept. He weeps over this loss. He weeps over lack of faith. He weeps over this common thread of our humanity to return back to the earth. And Jesus speaks into that. When Martha comes out, she runs out to meet him. And I always imagine this scene, right? We would expect maybe Martha to say some sort of like platitude to Jesus, like we would, like, oh, it's nice for you to be here. Thank you very much. She says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. How's that for laying it on the line? Martha is honest with the Lord in her sorrow at this situation. And Jesus speaks into it. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. He doesn't give Martha a big, long explanation about what's going to happen. He doesn't give her all the details of the plan. He doesn't give her 10 points to focus on. He simply makes her a promise. I am the resurrection and the life. And if you believe in me, you will live, even if you die. And so Jesus performs this miracle. He raises Lazarus from the dead. The raising of Lazarus prefigures Jesus' own resurrection to glory. Lazarus will die again. Certainly it happened. It's not recorded in the scriptures, but Lazarus died again. He was resuscitated to life. Jesus is risen to resurrected glory, to never be subject to the power of death again. So the raising of Lazarus prefigures that great resurrection of Jesus. And interestingly, the raising of Lazarus is the final straw that broke the camel's back in regards to the relationship between Jesus and the religious leaders. This miracle is the immediate cause for the passion. Because as we heard, many people come to believe in Jesus because of it, and the religious leaders have had enough. So we see in this the friendship of Jesus. Jesus says at the Last Supper that I will lay down my life for my friends. And he's called all of his disciples, all of us, his friends. The resurrection is the definitive proof of God's faithfulness and power over the worst thing that this world can offer. And that's why the religious leaders rail against it. They become a symbol of all that tries to put us down in this life, that all that tries to get us off course in this life. So while we and everyone we love must face the reality of dying, we do so with a firm hope in the resurrection. That resurrection is a light in the storms that we face in our lives. Our belief as Christians in the resurrection of the dead should bring us hope, or renew our hope. And not to a resuscitated life, not to life as we know it right now, but to a glorified life, to be body and soul forever in heaven with God, which we share in now in anticipation, but will be fulfilled in a later day. The dry bones of our humanity will be brought back together and given life by the death and resurrection of Jesus. So, my friends, in the storms of our lives, we focus on the faithfulness of God. We remember his faithfulness. We remember the gift of hope that we've been given. Hope that comes from faith in Jesus by the gift of our baptisms. And then also the friendship of Jesus. That he has called each and every one of us our friends. So when we think about those storms that I asked you to remember at the beginning of this homily, if we think back to them, how do these reminders of the scriptures today speak into those storms? Where do we remember our hope? How do we remember our hope? How do we remember the faithfulness of God? Do we remember it? And do we remember that we are friends with Jesus? And that makes all the difference. Also in the gospel today, we see some of the temptations that we face. In the storms of life, we face many temptations. But we face temptations to doubt and to despair. When Jesus wants to go back to Judea to visit Bethany, his disciples say, you want to go back there? They just tried to kill you. Why are you going back there? We too can face doubts. Why go through this? It's easier just to give up. When Jesus goes to the tomb, to Lazarus's tomb, what do the bystanders say? They say, could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died? Maybe we can face that kind of pessimism in this life. What's it all about? Why bother? Look what already happened. God's done nothing. We're so tempted to that pessimism when God doesn't intervene to help us in the way we want or expect. And finally, when Jesus commands that the stone be rolled away, what does Martha say? She says, surely, Lord, there will be a stench. She's already professed her faith in him. She's heard this, but yet she immediately goes back to what's there in front of her. Surely he's already dead. We can become tempted to despair, to lose our hope. And the loss of hope is perhaps the most destructive of the challenges that we face on our journey of faith, that we face in our conversion back to the Lord, that we face in the midst of the storms of our lives. And we see it all around us in a world that's lost hope. Why are so many people in a state of despair? Because they don't have hope. They don't have hope in Jesus Christ, in his power over the storms of our lives. So we can be tempted to doubt, to pessimism, or to despair, or many other temptations. Let's remember that Jesus has conquered that ancient foe, death. He's put it to flight. And his resurrection is the surest sign, the greatest sign of his faithfulness. So perhaps today, as we are on the brink of the holiest weeks of our year, you might think about the storms that we face in life. Maybe where we've been tempted to despair or lose hope or pessimism or lack of faith. And in those dark moments, in the midst of the storm, let's remember the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness to his promises that he's made to us, to the gift of hope that we've received from the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and ultimately, that we are friends of Jesus.